Welcome to Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Clallam counties. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, career counselor and committed community volunteer. Our show is inspired by the words and spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King. Everybody can be great because everybody can serve. We bring you information about the people who volunteer, serve on boards, donate, and sometimes just show up to help build what King called a beloved community. And indeed, this region reflects a beloved community in the number of folks engaged in community serving. Today, we are talking with folks that simply heard about a need and stepped up. We have with us Fred Hammerquist from the Washington National Park Fund. He serves on that board with Bree. More than 30 years of marketing experience to this board. If you're not familiar with the Washington National Park Fund, this organization raises private support to deepen the public love and understanding of and experiences for our very own Mount Rainier, North Cascades, and Olympic National Parks. They have awarded nearly $6 million to support these wonderful parks. And Fred has a heck of a lot to do with that. Fred, welcome to our program today.
Thanks for having me.
So, Fred, Washington National Park Fund, what is your role with that organization?
I'm on the board of directors for the Washington National Park Fund. Serve as vice chair currently. I'll be chair of the board in October. We simply raise money to support our three wonderful national parks in Washington State.
I looked up your bio, and I know that your connection and interest in the National Park Fund has grown out of your deep experience as a lifelong outdoor enthusiast and a real heavy user of those national parks. Tell us a little bit about what drives you outside. What do you do with the outdoors and your connection to that and the National Park Fund?
From a very early age, I have four older brothers, and we camped with my family a lot. We got familiar with the outdoors through those experiences. And as I grew to a young adult, I began rock climbing and mountain climbing and backpacking on my own with friends. In 1979, I moved to Washington State and discovered the mountains are very real. Spent a lot of time working with climbing and recreating in North Cascades and Rainier National Park.
I think I read somewhere that your work is also informed by your passion for outdoors. You bring to the experience for the National Park Fund your advertising work. You primarily targeted the outdoor equipment area. Is that correct?
Yeah, we started a advertising digital marketing agency in 2005 and decided to blend our career with our outdoor pursuits and focused exclusively in the outdoor recreation category.
So the National Park Fund, if I recall this, I was looking on their website, there's something Climb for a Cause. You are not just an outdoor enthusiast, you're quite an enthusiast. Have you done that Climb for a Cause? And could you explain to our listeners what that fundraiser is about?
We get corporate sponsors, REI, Alaska Airlines, Two Beers, Microsoft, a number of companies do fundraising climbs, and we help organize them. Teams of, I think, nine climbers climb guided by Rainier Mountaineering and International Mountain Guides. We also organize board member climbs, which I'll do in July. It's all fundraising, and we raise a substantial amount of money and actually have a good time in the parks and on mountains as well.
Yeah, and a phenomenal amount of projects are mentioned on your website. Now, I'm thinking you're a very outdoorsy guy. This is your passion, your work. You've been inside self-isolating, and we have some guidelines that limit our travel to essential travels. And one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was, we've talked to some folks about stepping up, and you figured out a way to step up and also kind of stay compliant with all those other guidelines we're living under with our COVID experience. I would love to talk to you about your recent rendezvous, get out of town, but also serve a need. I think it was your brother that prompted you to, work towards bringing some potatoes back to the Puget Sound area for a food day.
I learned of this idea through a friend on Facebook who was in a group of people who owned pickups and heard about some farmers donating potatoes because they would have to destroy them because of the restaurant industry being stalled. And I said, what a great idea. But I was too late for their caravan over to Eastern Washington. It was then I remembered my brother had a client that he sold machinery to over in Moses Lake, who was a huge potato farmer. So I called my brother and asked if he still had that relationship. And he said, yes, why? He said, well, you know, they're in the potato industry, and I hear that they're having a hard time moving those potatoes out of their warehouses and putting new potatoes in, and they're having to destroy them. Is there any way we can go over and get some pickup loads and deliver them to a source like a food bank? And he said, well, I'll give them a call. So he did. And he arranged for us to both go over and meet in Moses Lake. And they donated, we picked up 3 tons of potatoes. And it was pretty easy, really. And I delivered them here in West Seattle to West Seattle Food Bank. So it was a 3-hour drive over and a 3-hour drive back. And, you know, and they were very appreciative.
Did you have to heave-ho those potatoes into the truck yourself?
Yeah. I mean, they had a forklift and potatoes on a big pallet. In my truck, it was a smaller truck, so we had to unload 20-pound bags of potatoes. And I think I carried 1,500 pounds of potatoes, and my brother the rest of 3 tons. He has a very large truck. So he took his potatoes down to the Bend, Central Oregon area.
I love this idea. I just think it's so clever. You know, someone who lives their life outdoors and their work and their passion and their volunteer, and they've got to stay inside and we're not supposed to travel. You figured out a clever way to stay compliant and step up. It's just a one-off. It's a perfect example of the kinds of things that we need to be thinking about when we don't have our traditional volunteer opportunities available to us. So hats off to you, Fred. Did it feel good to get out of town?
Yeah, it was a good road trip. Sydney, my wife, came with me, and we got to see the, you know, spectacular scenery on the east side of the mountains, and it was nice.
Well, soon we will be visiting the national park soon. And I would just, you know, I can't wait till we have access to some of those other outdoor activities. I want to have our listeners learn a little bit more about how they might reach you or learn more about the National Park Fund efforts in the time that we have left. Is there a website you might recommend or any kind of programming you would like to highlight in our last few minutes?
I mean, I would encourage people to go to WNPF.org. That's the website for the Washington's National Park Fund. And you can learn about our mission and how you might get involved from, you know, a donation or volunteerism. Many different projects that we fund to get people out in the parks and to help steward and protect our national parks in Washington State for the few generations to come.
Well, thank you again, Fred, for stepping up. It was no small potatoes, but you did, my friend. I couldn't read it. Thanks again, Fred.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Everybody Can is a production of KPTZ 91.9. You are listening to Missy Nielsen. We have just listened to Fred Hammerquist, one of those great folks who are stepping up in the time of COVID and volunteerism. We are about to welcome Joy Winfrey, someone who's made mask knitting an art.
Face Mask Challenge of Port Townsend began as a quiet effort by a retired nurse and avid quilter to address the shortage of masks in our community. These non-medical masks have been showing up at our local stores and markets at no cost to the individual, due to the inspiration and dedication of dozens of mask makers. A recent posting on their Facebook group board speaks to the heart of stepping up. Quote, had an exciting day today. Went to check my mail in town. Met a lady in the parking lot. Her outer mask had fallen off. She was really frustrated because she could not wear her hearing aids with the loops behind her ears. I gave her one of my owl masks made from fat quarters, left over from a quilt project. She sure wished she could give me a hug. I let her know about the farmer's market where she can get more masks. Makes my heart feel good. Now that excerpt from Facebook is really what stepping up is about. And we have Joy Winfrey from this Mass Group today joining us to talk about how this wonderful effort got organized. Joy, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
So, Joy, you are the person who's managing this Facebook group called Face Mask Challenge Port Townsend. Am I correct in understanding you are the person who got this ball rolling?
Well, yes, but also with the help of Rosemary Gagnon, between the two of us, we did get the Facebook page going, yes.
And tell us about the Face Mask Challenge effort. So you put it out there on Facebook, and what happened?
Well, we got responses from folks who were very enthusiastic and supportive for our efforts for mask making. Some of them were just wanting to join at that time to just be alerted to what we were doing. And then others were actually very active mask makers.
Tell me a little bit about the mask makers, and then tell us a little bit about the process of how you coordinate materials and efforts. How many people do you have estimated involved in this process?
We probably have around 25 or 30 active mask makers.
Now, in talking to you earlier, I mentioned that I made a couple of masks for my family members and mailed them off and asked if I could join the group. And I mentioned I wasn't really able to sew quantities. You have folks involved in this process, so they're simply there to do a portion of it? Or what other participants are involved in this besides the mask makers?
Oh, yes. We've had actual mask makers join at the beginning, and then they've taken a break, and then they've restarted, or some have just provided us with the mask that they feel they're able to at the time and then have no longer continued with the mask making process. But we also have members that are active in helping purchasing supplies or donating supplies for us as well.
Now, I noticed on your website, on the Facebook, it's really remarkable. There's some great ideas where people are really collaborating and customizing these masks. About how many masks do you think your group has made at this point?
Yeah, it's really hard to keep track, honestly, because some of our masks don't go through me. They'll go directly into the county distribution sites, which are the library book box drop sites. Some are delivered directly to hospital or other community service organizations, but I am estimating probably around 4,000.
That's amazing. Tell us a little bit more about the library, the drop site. What is that? What happens there?
Oh, okay. Well, from the very beginning, I wanted things to be standardized and organized and make sure that we're providing safe masks that have been recommended by the professionals. And so we have been working with the JEFCO Department of Emergency Management pretty much from day one. And they have set up their own mask distribution.
So the Jefferson County
mask distribution procedure.
You also have a distribution process outside of the Jefferson County Health Department that is non-medical grade. And I believe you mentioned Farmers Market and Co-op when we first talked about this. So not only are you dropping them off at library sites, but are you dropping them at other locations besides retail? Or could you tell our listeners a little bit about where these masks can be found?
So for the county distribution sites, once they pick them up from the library book box drop, they deliver them to QFC's Safeway, the food co-op. And then we also have started distributing masks near the Saturday market. But we also have taken requests from community service or healthcare organizations. So we have provided masks to locations such as Avamere and San Juan Villa and food banks and those type of places as well.
Am I also correct in understanding this has almost been completely self-funded by all the mask makers and there is not a charge for these masks?
Well, yes and no. Our mask makers have contributed a lot of their own supplies. But I also did start a GoFundMe page, which helped with purchasing supplies for the mask makers. And most recently, the county applied for a grant through the Jeffco COVID-19 Foundation. And we just recently received $1,000 from that grant.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think equally as valuable to donations of materials and dollars is the insight you bring as a quilter. And looking at your Facebook page, the knowledge around what kinds of materials and threads. I'm seeing people donating, little buttons that make it easier for people who have hearing aids. It's just remarkable the number of skill sets that are going into this effort. You are a quilter from back in the day, is that correct?
A little more of a sewist per se.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, if a listener is inclined to participate, contribute, get involved, or look for a mask, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
Well, if you're interested in actually helping with the mask making project, especially being a mask maker, and you are on Facebook, I would recommend becoming a member of our Face Mask Challenge Port Townsend. Otherwise, the best way is to email me directly, and that would be at EZ2@hotmail.com.
I think it's remarkable what you're doing, including, helping people figure out how to sew, what they're sewing, and just the cooperation between your group. It's just so super. And we will see these in some of the public places you've mentioned. And Joy, once again, thank you for stepping up. What a great inspirational story that we could share with our listeners. If one small thing grows in large ways, and it's keeping us healthy. And I appreciate your time today.
Well, you are welcome, and thank you for having me.
Everybody Can is a production of KPTZ 91.9. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen. Our production coordinator and sound engineer is Jared Dufresne. I would like to thank our programming manager, Larry Stein, and all of the incredible volunteers that work hard to bring eclectic music, local news, and conversations to us here on the North Olympic Peninsula. You can also join us on the web at kptz.org. Now go out, get involved, wear a mask, and make it a great day.